4 o'clock here in the city of Coleman, where life is good, because we had this thing called an election the other day, and like one in every three people who voted for Trump, and he won. So, hey, what do you know? It's also time for Sports Talk Live. We do this show every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 o'clock. And it's the only one that we know of like this right here in Coleman. So you know what? If you're local, why don't you call in and participate? 256-737-9505. Big shout out to People's Bank for helping to make this possible. And I'm done talking. So who are your hosts? Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel, and Ronnie Barnes. And I think I left off the word four somewhere, but I wasn't playing golf, so it's all good.
There you go.
Thanks, Jay.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, everyone. The Thursday edition, the post-election edition.
Listen, what is it I hear?
That's not scripted either. I made all that up as I went.
Okay. Yeah. I hear something.
What is it?
I think it's the Trump train coming through.
Trump train. Hey! Well, let's hit on that right to start with. Has anything in your lifetime surprised you any more than that?
And I'm not one who's kept up with politics, you know, for many, many years, but that is the most dramatic presidential election I can remember myself. And I know back when Reagan beat Carter, I know it was a big, you know, big deal then, but wow, this was something else.
You know, and that was back, I don't remember a lot about it. I do remember the election,
yeah.
But from everything that I've been told and I remember, the Reagan-Carter election was a lot like this election. Nobody gave Reagan a chance.
Exactly.
Go in. He was an outsider.
Way behind.
And if I could find a way to segue "We Are the Champions" into this, I'd do that too. So.
But
and Ronnie, let me say this, and you agree or disagree. Hope Sheila is listening, because I know Sheila has expressed on Facebook her worries and anxiety about Trump, and everybody has.
She's not alone. If anything, Facebook has made the world smaller. We all get to hear and see what everyone else is thinking.
That's right. But
I've been a little too vocal lately. I know it. If you're listening and you know me, just tune me out. It's all good.
But I understand. I'm with you, Jason. I mean, I feel just like you do. I have exactly the same concerns that everybody has.
But look at the what happened today. Trump goes and meets with President Obama.
Yeah.
Very professional on both accounts. Hillary gives her speech, her concession speech, A1.
A+. I'd give her an A+ mark.
And that is the difference in the United States and most other countries.
Basically anywhere else, you know, for the most part.
Not only are we changing power, we are doing a 180.
A complete 180. If he does the things he says he plans to do, and that, you know, there's a big if there, because it's real easy to, you know, to be out on the campaign trail where everybody there is supporting you and yelling, screaming for you. It's easy to say what you're going to do, but you know, now it's time to back it up.
Where else can you have two leaders with the power that these guys have?
Yeah,
you have your existing leader sitting there, and the new leader coming in. And basically saying, I'm about to change everything you've done in the last 8 years.
That's right.
And they're fighting. They're
welcome him with a smile, Mr. Obama.
Yeah.
And very professional. Makes me proud to be an American. As bad as shapes we're in, I'm still proud to be an American.
I agree. I mean, we live in the greatest country in the world.
And you know, if Hillary was elected, we'd still be fine.
We would. And the sun's going to come up tomorrow. I don't agree with, you know, many of the things that, you know, that she says she's for. Now, I'm not for, and that's why I couldn't support her. So
one more thing I want to hit on before we get into sports, and you and I talked about it before we came in, is the protesters, I guess you could call them, let's just call them thugs.
Get a job.
Right. Out setting flags on fire, busting windows out of buildings because Donald Trump's being elected. My question to you, Ronnie, do these people think that's going to do any good? Do they think anybody cares what feel?
No, the country, they're not
going to change the president.
No, you're not. It just gives some people a chance to get out and walk up and down the streets and vandalize or you know, whatever they decide to do. Yeah, everybody's this, and it's great that we live in a country that allows you to be able to do that, to be able to, you know, protest. I got that. I understand that. But you know, good gosh, move on.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, move on.
If they spent the time, as you said, hunting a job,
that's right,
that they do out doing that kind of stuff, they'd be a lot better off.
And let me tell you, you know, did you hear that, and I know we get on sports, but did you hear, I think it was Harvard, and maybe call it, it's either Harvard or Yale or, you know, one of those Ivy League schools that it told their students if they were so upset that Trump got elected, they didn't have to come take their exams. Right. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
I mean, what state is our country in?
And
when,
you may have heard this on the same line, a elementary school or junior high school, forgot which one it was. I think it's on the East Coast, Northeast, of course. We're bringing in pets of different kinds, dogs, different kind of animals to help with the anxiety that these kids were feeling because Trump was elected. So,
you know, and again, we have to preface it. We live in the greatest country in the world. Right. However,
you know, Ronnie,
does that not raise your eyebrow?
Oh, yeah. And the
does
truth
that
is,
not raise
those
your
kids probably don't give a flip.
They don't know who Trump, who Hillary is, or any, they don't know any of that. That's, as I was going to say, can you imagine their parents?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you know, I ask you this, Jason. I think you and I would be in the same boat with our daddies, God rest their souls. If you and I were in school or anywhere else, and someone gets elected or that we don't agree with, and we, because some schools did this, or their students protested, walked out of class. If your daddy or my daddy saw us protesting and not in class, I really believe they would have left work
and confound us.
And beat our tails.
No doubt. And Adam and I were talking about earlier today, same line, these kids out burning flags. And can you imagine if your dad had seen you burning a flag?
There'd been something else burning.
Oh, yeah.
It'd been my two butt cheeks.
The flames would have been coming.
You got that right. Absolutely.
Well, let me ask y'all this, not to change, because I was really changing the subject Tuesday afternoon when we did this. But all right, so you know that President-elect Trump, when he was doing his rallies, he kept alluding to the fact that the election was rigged.
Right.
And basically, thanks to WikiLeaks, we've seen proof that the Democratic side of things was rigged. And there's little doubt that there's at least some of that going on the Republican side, but there's no proof of it yet that we know of. Had the election gone the other way, would we be seeing a similar, I mean, and I'm not thinking that there would have been protests like there were last, I mean, some of the mainstream media went up and interviewed some of them and they're like, well, you know, we just don't know what else to do, but we're not going to give up. Great. All right. Good for y'all. Go get a job. Whatever. If there aren't any jobs available, hey, I understand that too, but. I do have to give them a little credit. Most of the talking heads last night said that they did not start protesting really until after 5. Did you know that?
Well,
it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
Maybe that's when the safe spaces at the college is closed. I don't know.
Maybe so. Well, when it starts, now the time change, it starts getting darker.
That's true. But I just wonder, you know, had it been the other way, would the Trump side have accepted the results, you know, as easily, I guess, as... Because I was wondering that for a while.
And then I want to give mine.
Especially with what Hillary did, you know, and sending John Podesta out and then not really speaking, you know. I was getting vibes that the tables had been turned and we were about to really see a scene. But y'all go ahead.
Yeah. For me personally, no. I don't think there would have been, I don't think you would have had that protest going on if she had been on the other foot. I just don't.
What about Trump? Do you think he would have been as gracious as Hillary?
Yeah.
I don't. I think we would have seen a totally opposite thing. I think
and you're probably right.
Trump would have stayed with it was rigged. He was beat because of the election being rigged.
Yeah.
And my question to Donald Trump today, do you still think it's rigged?
Exactly.
I really don't want to give that a second thought because it really could turn into a nightmare, and I'm glad I don't have to witness it.
Yep.
But how many people in this country really honestly thought he was going to win? I mean, going into it, I was
Trump
nervous.
Trump and his family.
Yes, yeah. And apparently Kellyanne Conway, because their polls were the only polls of this nation that were right.
And a handful more, like Newt Gingrich, mm-hmm. Rudy Giuliani, Jeff Sessions.
Do you think they really believed
that?
Yeah, they just
I'm wondering.
I do.
I don't know.
I believe Mike Huckabee. If any one of them believed, I believe it was Newt.
Boy, Jeff Sessions is going to come out smelling like a rose on this.
He's going to, you know, I'm hearing Jeff Sessions for Secretary of Defense. I don't know whether there's any truth in that or not, but that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, he was one of the first allies called out early on. I think he could pretty much take whatever job he wanted aside from the presidency.
Yeah.
And the vice presidency.
Yeah, I think he kind of has his choice.
There is something going on It's called sports.
That's right. Hey. Absolutely right. Absolutely. Hey, and as we talked a little bit about last week, Jason, you know, football season is now
over. Welcome, Coleman, to Sports Talk Live.
That's right. Football season is over for everyone. We've had some basketball teams that have already tipped it off. Vimont earlier they hosted a tip-off tournament. And I'll give you the winners of the boys and the girls. Hey, congratulations to Good Hope High School head coach Drew Adams as they defeated Susan Moore in the
champions.
Yeah, they're the champions. That's exactly right. So Drew starts off his high school coaching career. They are at 2-0 and have already won a trophy. Have already won a tournament. So great news. Good start for Good Hope there, as they won the Vimont tip-off tournament. In the boys' division of that tournament as well, in the runner-up, Vimont was defeated by Winston County. So they start 0-2. Garrett Boland, he had a good night though. In the consolation game, he had 24 points. So that was a big night for him. So, Winston, and in the girls division at Vimont, Winston County girls won the tournament over New Hope. So those are your winners of the tip-off tournament. So again, congratulations to Drew Adams and the Good Hope Raiders as they start the season 2-0 and winners of the Vimont tip-off tournament. So some of the other games, Jason, that are coming up or have already been played. You know, we got a few other new coaches here in the county. Again, Drew Adams. At the Good Hope is starting 2-0. Josh Hembry, not a kid anymore, but I had the pleasure to coach him as a 10th grader. A heck of a player for us at Vimont. He is now the girls coach at Coleman. And they were defeated the other night. They got beat by Decatur by the score of 56-48. Knowing Josh as I do, he will have a good program there at Coleman. He understands the game, and we'll just do a wonderful job. So glad that he's back in this area. Also, another new coach, Tiffany Hinkle Pope. She is the new girls coach at St. Bernard, and it's her first game. It was spoiled by Athens Bible as they were defeated. A few other games have been played. Fairview Lady Aggies, who are going to be as good as anybody around. You mark it down. This year they defeated Arab 64-42, and Coach Mary Hartline is the coach. She's the coach there. So, again, those are some of the games that have taken place. The Vimont Lady Eagles, they dropped 0-2, after they lost their third place, in their own tournament there. Can't even get it out, Jason. So, those are some of the teams that have played up until this point. Also, St. Bernard's guys have played, and they beat Athens Bible. They had an outstanding team last year. They went to the regionals. Greg Boatwright, who used to be the head coach at Fairview, now coaches at St. Bernard. They won 22 games last year. So they had a good club, and I think they're going to have another good one. Some other actions that's already taken place, Jason. Coleman Varsity Boys, coached by Bobby Meyer, they were defeated by Decatur the other day, 59-32. Also, let me say, and you know this, and I thought the same thing too. They are just now getting out of football, so I'm sure a lot of his kids have probably had 1 to 2 days
to practice. And Decatur's still playing football.
Decatur is still playing football. They are. But, you know, what does that say? It says maybe the Decatur has a whole lot more athletes than what Coleman may have right now.
It may not be true, but probably at Decatur, there's probably more kids swapping over from football into basketball at Coleman than there is in Decatur.
Yeah, probably so. Probably.
So, I don't know that, but it seems.
But we hope for Coach Meyer's sake that the vast majority of them are football players, and that would explain, you know, kind of where they were. Also, Fairview Varsity Boys, they were defeated by Arab. And again, we already said Vimont, they lost in the third place game against Winston County. So Vimont Boys start 0-2 as well. There's three other schools, Jason, that are playing tonight, being this Thursday. Hanceville is visiting Fairview. West Point is headed to Vimont, and Holly Pond has the longest trip of anybody. They're going into Madison County, and they'll be playing New Hope. So once again, I'll go through that again. If you want to go check a game out tonight, Hansville is visiting Fairview, West Point is at Vinemont, and Holly Pond is at New Hope. Also, St. Bernard will host Southeastern. That's a school out of Blount County. It's where Southeastern is. So those are the games that are taking place tonight, okay, of our local team. So get out there, support them, go check out some basketball, go see, you know, go find out who's going to have, who may have some of the better teams. Most of these games, Jason, it depends on the number of gyms they have to play in. I'll tell you this, your Good Hopes and your Vinemonts, they have one gym that they play their varsity games in. And most of the time, there's five games a night, and those start, you know, about as soon as you can get officials there. Probably 4 o'clock-ish would be when they would start. You know, you got a ninth grade boys team, you have a JV girls, JV boys, varsity girls, and the varsity boys. So there's plenty of time to get out and see a ball game, because they'll be playing in way on up into the night, as you very well remember.
While we're speaking of coaches, you talked about a lot of new coaches in the county, and I want to blow your horn a little bit, I guess, and let everyone that don't know that your son now a basketball coach at Good Hope.
That's right.
Middle school boys, if I'm correct.
He is. He's coaching the middle school team at Good Hope. I talked to Coach Scott Adams today, or we text back and forth, where his son is the varsity coach at Good Hope, and Scott and I coached together when he was up there at Vinemont, and we worked together. So it's kind of strange now that our kids, both our boys, are kind of working together there. So it's kind of exciting, but it was a lot more fun to go to a game when you're coaching it than when you are going and watching your kid coach it.
Yeah.
So
when you sit up there, Ronnie, do you ever – old coach start sticking out in.
Oh, absolutely.
Why in the world is he doing
exactly,
that?
Exactly.
Or why don't he do that?
I know. I do, and I ask him that when he comes over, or he calls after the game. So, thanks for mentioning that. But he is at Good Hope Middle School.
Eric, a great guy. So, went to school with Tyler. Thank the world of Eric. I know he'll do a good job there at Good Hope. Well, they're fortunate to have him.
So. Well, I appreciate that, Jason, and he's happy to be there. So, but those are the games that's going on this week, are actually going on tonight. So if you want to check out some basketball, it is certainly there for your pleasure.
Let me ask you this, Ronnie. If you were sitting at home, didn't have a lot to do, the weather's like it is.
Yeah.
There's no Alabama game on, so you're just kind of bored, but you got time to do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
What would you probably do?
What would I do?
He'd get ahead of the ball game. He'd go get him a Christmas tree.
What time of the day? If it's where I'm getting to the golf course before dark and play, I go to the golf course.
That's exactly what I thought you would say. And that reminds me, we still have golf.
That's right.
Free golf to give away. So
good
tell
point.
Everybody
good
about
point.
It.
Hey, the first person who gives us a call, 737-9505. We will ask you a very, very simple question. And if you can answer it, which you will, because if you miss it, we'll give you another one. You will win a free round of golf at Cross Creek Golf Course. That includes green fee and the cart. So you're talking about $30 on a weekday. Of course, on a weekend, it would be worth more. So give us a call if you play golf, if you know somebody wants to play golf. Hey, it's the easiest way I know to get a free round of golf.
Now, ladies, do it for your guy.
Absolutely. Get him out of the house for 4 hours.
That's
come
right.
on, ladies.
You and the girls can go shopping or whatever.
That's exactly right.
Like Ronnie said, it's a $30 value or so. And
4 hours with your husband gone, you can't put a price on that.
That to a woman,
that's right.
Or I know to my wife, it'd probably be worth a couple of $100.
Oh, and no question whatsoever. So, again, free golf at Cross Creek if you give us a call and answer a trivia question.
All right. Today, as usual, we will have...
John, give the number, 256-737-9505.
Yes, Jay, somebody wake Jay up. He stayed up with elections the other night.
He hasn't got over it yet.
I'm too busy reading Facebook. Go ahead.
I've already forgot where I was.
Chris Andrews.
Yeah.
Chris Andrews.
At about 4:30, Chris Andrews will join us from Las Vegas, Nevada. He's been on fire picking games.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if he was on
that.
Fire picking the election, too.
I don't know, but
we're going to find out.
That reminds me. I managed to make a little money on that.
For entertainment purposes only.
Okay. November the 4th, 2015, I placed a huge, huge wager.
Huge,
on Donald Trump.
Huge. I'm holding up my hands going, huge.
$20 whole.
Y'all can fire me.
$20.
$20 whole. But here's the kicker. At that time, Donald Trump was plus 800, so it paid eight times your money if that person won.
Yeah.
So that $20 turned into 160.
Sweet.
So.
Or if you could turn.
I lost 20 on Rubio and 10 on Ben Carson.
Okay, but you still came out of
it. Oh, yeah. So.
If you could, for entertainment purposes only again, put up 20 and win 160, would you be all for? You'd be on that all the time, wouldn't you?
Every day.
You give up your day job, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah. Then I'd start putting 2,000 instead of 20.
Absolutely. But hey, that, again at 4:30, Chris Andrews will be joining us out in Las Vegas, as you said, at 5 o'clock. We'll have Dan Vosta from Chicago, from Campus Insider, which is located in Chicago, will be joining us, and then. Hopefully,
home of Barack Obama.
Home of Barack Obama, and he'll be going back soon. And then at 5:30, we will have Mr. Rex Chambers, our local fishing expert, pro, whatever you want to call him, will be giving us a tip of how we might be able to catch a fish. But I'm assuming it's still very difficult. We got to have some rain.
Boy, I'm telling you, they said the fish are putting shoes on now. So.
Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, there's no water.
No water.
All right, we've got a caller. I have no idea who it is, but we're going to take them anyway. This could be interesting. So
I was kind of wondering about that.
Hey, welcome to Sports Talk Live. Hey, is that Moolah?
Is that Cindy?
Oh, man.
Sound like she's in labor.
Yeah. Hey, have you got anything else for us? I think that's it, Jay.
I don't know. Okay.
We appreciate that. What's up, Jeffrey? Jeffrey, we can't sit here and listen to animal sounds the whole show. So.
Jeffrey.
Oh.
This is your long-lost moolah hunter.
Oh, okay. We thought it was Jeffrey. He usually the first caller, so we just took it for granted it was him.
Oh, no.
Cindy,
no,
where in the world have you been?
Well, yeah, I just had a string load of death in my family.
Oh,
so
I'm
really
sorry.
Yeah, I had a friend suffering from COPD, and I was helping take care of her and all. So, but she's in a better place now, and
there you go.
Suffering, so.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd call and aggravate you guys with a little moolah.
Well, my wife, Cindy, said she saw you at the co-op the other day.
Yeah, she tried to ask for my autograph. She said, are you Cindy Wilson?
Hey, are you calling to get some free golf? Is that what you're doing, Cindy?
No. I don't play golf. But
Cindy, do you know anybody that plays golf?
You know anybody that does. It's worth $30 to them if you know somebody that plays.
No. Does Jeffrey play?
No. I
think he already won one, didn't he?
Did Jeffrey win?
I think.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, okay. Cindy, we're wanting you to win one. You've won everything else we've had, so why not golf?
Let's go back to the moolah now.
Cindy, while you're on here, let me catch everybody up to date real quick, because we may have some new listeners that didn't know about this. So.
Yeah.
At the time, we done a contest called Where's Moolah, sponsored by People's Bank, and we started out, we would hide an envelope with instructions on collecting the amount of money that was for that week. And, I mean, anywhere in the city or actually the county.
The county, yeah.
And we would give clues like, if you are hunting moolah, you might be sitting close to a tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, something crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we give two clues, Cindy finds it.
She calls us the next day, she found it.
And, Cindy, how many did you win in a row?
Y'all even got crazier than that. You decided that it didn't have to be in Coleman County anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were getting to that.
Yeah.
In South Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We would minimum.
I don't know. I think we figured it at one time, and I think I won around $700.
Yeah. And, folks, we were giving $50 and $100 away at a time. So then we did change it, as Jay said, to we would think of it in our mind and thought we would get more participation this way and give clues. It could be anywhere, anywhere in the United States.
Right.
And, of course, Cindy wins again and wins again. And so we put a rule on that you couldn't win but once every 30 or 60 days.
Something like that.
And you could set your calendar by Cindy.
That's right.
As soon as her time was up, she done great.
Yeah.
Didn't try to win.
Yeah.
But
like
as soon as her time was up, she was collecting her $100.
Absolutely.
Oh, and I loved it. Loved every minute of it.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
You should have filed taxes
on that.
Well, I'm glad you didn't make me.
Oh, man. Well, glad
you. Anyway, I just wanted to call in and say hi and harass you for a little bit.
Great. Well, glad you're doing well, Cindy.
Yeah, thanks, Cindy, for calling us.
All righty. We'll talk to y'all later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, Cindy.
Cindy.
She can find it.
Yeah, if I ever lose anything that I really need to find, you can bet I'm going to give her a call.
You better believe it.
4:27, about 3 minutes away from Chris Andrews, and we'll be kicking it off when we come back from the break. Stay with us.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Cullman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now, Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service to another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Cullman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Cullman since 1989, Cullman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Cullman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Cullman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Cullman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a senior's only exercise plan at little or no cost. Cullman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit CullmanSportsFit.com.
Friday, December 9th at the Cullman Civic Center, the music, the moves, the memories of the king lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTributeLive.com and the Cullman Civic Center. One night with you, Cullman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Cullman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTributeLive.com for more information.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissors Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
431 back with you, Sports Talk Live, on a beautiful and guess what? Dry.
That's the shock, Thursday. Isn't it?
How many days is this without rain?
No, I don't know. Last time I heard somebody say it was like 43, but that's been.
Yeah, I think it's up in the 50s now.
I thought I had heard 70 something, but you're right. It's the upper 40s.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 50s.
I correct myself. Yeah, we may be pushing 50 now.
Yeah, it is the longest dry spell I can ever remember.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to rain next week. They're giving rain.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
They will probably let school out when it rains.
It'll be a national holiday.
So we don't have Chris yet, Jay?
Working on it.
All right.
All right.
Had to keep Jay in line. That's still in election mode.
We're gonna cut his. We're gonna cut his pay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yep. Absolutely. We'll be on.
He'll be talking to Chris 5 minutes about the election.
He's ready.
This will be our station next week.
Hey, Chris. Welcome to Sports Talk Live.
What's going on, fellas?
Man, I'm telling you, we are in election mode and trying to get back into sports.
I understand. I've been doing the same thing the last couple of days.
Hey, Chris, I got to ask you right to start with, as far as the election, some people know this, some may not, but you can actually place wagers on the election or elections. How did Vegas come out with Trump winning?
Okay, well, first of all, you can do that, but you can't do it in Las Vegas.
Oh, you can't do it in Vegas.
That offshore, no.
Okay.
No.
You mean they actually have rules in Las Vegas? Come on. No.
Yeah, believe me, we got a lot more than you think, believe me. Matter of fact, we had a way that we were going to do it this year, and gaming, let's just say they didn't tell us we couldn't do it, but they greatly encouraged us, excuse me, not to do it. We were going to have a free parlay card where we had a bunch of states, like 15 states, and you could pick who was going to, you know, win, Democrat or Republican.
Right.
And they encouraged us not to do that.
Wow. I think I would do better on that than I do on the football games.
And I'm going to apologize in advance. I have a little bit of a cold here today, fellas, so.
Hey, I've been fighting it for over a week now, Chris.
Yeah, if my voice gets a little scratchy, you'll have to forgive me.
Okay.
That's not a problem for us.
Chris, do you know, you may not since you weren't dealing with it, but do you know through the night, Tuesday night, how the odds? I know I placed a small wager, like $20 on Trump back on November the 4th, 2015, and it paid 8-1 plus 800. So how did the odds on Trump change during the night? Do you have any idea?
Oh, yeah, I was watching it very closely. Matter of fact, when the first, so I was watching Pinnacle, and they had it about, I want to say about 7 or 8 to 1 that Hillary was the favorite. And when the first results came in, and I can't remember what state it was, but when the first results came in, they shot up to minus $15 on Hillary.
Wow.
Now, I just remember tweeting out, if anybody's following me on Twitter, I tweeted out, boy, that escalated quickly, and it did. Now, I know a friend of mine who wound up betting Trump about that time went into Pinnacle and bet it and took, I think he took like about 11 to 1 or something like that.
Wow.
It was. So the night of the election took 11 to 1.
Good.
And I think it was at Pinnacle. Might have been at one of the other locations. But, you know, that first bump, that first result, really looked like Hillary was going to blow away this whole thing. And then when Virginia came in and they started getting more results from Virginia, which, of course, was Tim Kaine's state, the results all of a sudden didn't look so good for Hillary. And that's when I turned to my wife. I says, oh, this is not good news for Hillary. You know, this, because he struggled, or she struggled, in the rural counties of Virginia. Now, you know, she held the cities, which, you know, Virginia has, you know, pretty good suburban population near D.C., and then there's Richmond, but otherwise it's mostly rural as you go, you know, a little bit to the west.
Yeah.
And that was a very bad sign. And then I remember Jim Carville talking about it. He says, well, if they're having this much trouble in Virginia, they're not going to carry North Carolina, which was, you know, pretty big key state for both these guys. And, you know, that just kind of continued and, you know, kept going down and down and down until eventually Trump became the monstrous favorite and obviously won the election. So, yeah, wow. I was watching it pretty closely that night. It was pretty interesting.
It's hard to win a state when you tell them you're going to kill coal, and that's what 90% of them do. So.
Yeah. Well, that's why West Virginia was never even in play. No. You know, and even though that's been a Democratic state, you know, for a long time. You know, before
one of the
really
co-founders
of the Obama administration.
One of the co-founders of the station is actually from West Virginia and was keeping a real close eye on that. She says there's not a single drop of blue on that map anywhere.
No. I mean, there was like zero chance. I don't even think she visited West Virginia or anything. And if you remember back in, some guy they nominated for governor who just kind of put his name in a hat. It was some crazy guy. This was in the last election cycle. I'd have to look it up. But I remember it was like one of those things like, what? Who do they have for? It was the Democratic nominee for governor. So, that was just one state they just had to write off, you know. So right. They just knew they could not win that state, period.
Hey, don't feel bad about the crazy guy. I'll tell you this, and then we'll go into football. Several years ago, and my mother may be listening, so mother, sorry about this, but she voted for a candidate here in the state of Alabama, which he didn't get elected. And after the Iron Bowl, the Alabama-Auburn game, he was up on the goal post so drunk he barely could see, swinging his tie around in a circle. And so I told her, I said, Mother, that is the man you voted for.
Well, you can't blame her for voting for Ronnie. I might vote for him too, Jason.
Yeah, that sounds just like Ronnie. Hey, Chris, let's jump to football, get on something better. Texas A&M, man, they came in one and done in the top four. Give us your thoughts on Texas A&M, the fall, and then what do you think about this week's poll?
Well, I think justice was served because I don't know how they got up to number four.
I think
that was something that was just erroneous on the committee's part. Now, I didn't expect them to lose last week to Mississippi State, but part of me was kind of glad to see it. Not that I root against A&M. I really don't, but I just thought that they didn't deserve to have that spot, and I thought Washington did. And Washington, of course, is in that number four spot. But, they have a huge test this week, and we'll see if they might be one and done themselves. We'll just have to see what happens.
It'll be a tough one.
Hey, Chris, speaking of USC and Washington, actually that was my next question, and at least for me, I don't keep up with USC and I don't keep up with Washington too much with, the locations of where I am as to where those universities are. Can you give us a little bit of preview of that game and how you think it might or should go?
Well, I knocked Coach Helton from USC, last year, early part of this year. And, I think he really deserved it. He didn't do a very good job. Now, since then, they've played some really good football. Now, you could go back and say, did he learn his role and his job much better? Maybe. But he also found a quarterback, that's Sam Darnold. That kid has really come in, and I think he has 18 touchdowns versus 3 interceptions.
Right.
And once they inserted him into the lineup, they've just gone – they played much, much better football. And, it's one of those things where it's a chicken and egg thing. We always say, wow, what a great coach Bill Belichick is. Well, yeah, Tom Brady for his whole career. That sort of makes things a lot better. Of course, college is different. And, you lose your quarterback every couple years. So he found a good one here. And I got to tell you, they're playing terrific ball. I think they're very live this week. Now, on the other side, what's kind of flown under the radar, I think, for the rest of the country is just how tough a place it is to play at Washington. It's in Seattle, and, you always think there's kind of like a little bit of a cool thing about Seattle and all that. But just think about the Seahawks and how tough they are to beat up in their stadium. So those people are pretty rabid when it comes to football. And we haven't seen Washington on the national stage really since the Don James years, about 20 years ago or whatever. But they're definitely back right now. And I'll tell you, USC, they may have been down the last couple years too. But everybody in the Pac-12 knows that that's been the big dog for, what, like 100 years or at least 50? they're going to be in there. That's going to be a raucous stadium. I think it's going to be very difficult for USC to go in there and win. But I do think they cover. I think this game is going to be pretty close. I think that this goes to the wire. I expect Washington to win that game, but won't be surprised at all if USC pulls it out. And they're playing some pretty good football right now. So I think it should be a great one. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that. Those late TV games for us wind up being huge. And Michael Gaughan, who's the owner here at the South Point, excuse me, is a USC graduate. So we always get a lot of USC people in here watching a game, and, you know, they bring their money and they bet it. And, you know, Washington, the way they've been covering this last year, certainly, they're gonna have a lot of fans, fans of money, who are going to come in and bet on them, too. So I expect that to be a great night for us, and I'm looking forward to a really good game.
Great. Hey, Chris, let's just say that Washington runs the table the rest of the way and finishes undefeated. Do you see anywhere that somebody with a loss can bump them out of that four spot?
Well, you know, I don't think they could bump Washington if they run the table. I think right now there's like two scenarios that I think could happen to upset the top four. And the one would be Clemson, who, you know, They'll probably go to the ACC championship game. You know, right now I would say it's likely they'll play Virginia Tech, who's pretty good. And I think Virginia Tech going to probably be somewhere about an 8-9 point dog against Clemson. And, you know, like I say, just watch any Saturday of college football, these 8-9 point dogs win every week. You
right.
know? You know, could they beat Clemson? Yeah. So I think Clemson could be beat, and I don't think Virginia Tech would take their spot, but I think Clemson could easily go out of the top four. You know, and then Ohio State might come up. Now, that's the other one I would say. You know, Ohio State plays Michigan at home.
Right.
You know, I think, regardless, I think Ohio State will probably be the favorite in that game. And I would say if Ohio State wins, like let's say it's a 35-34, you know, a real barn burner, and, you know, Ohio State beats them, and then one of the other teams loses, like I said, Clemson or Washington. I think you could possibly see two teams out of the Big Ten. I think they could take Ohio State and Michigan. A lot revolves around just their pedigree for, you know, really a lifetime.
Right.
And I could see both of them getting in there. Or I could see, you know, if something were to happen, maybe, you know, either Michigan blows them out or Ohio State blows them out, something like that happens, and somebody else falters along the way. I could see Louisville maybe sneaking in there, because really they lost a very close game at Clemson, easily could have won that game. And just about everybody I know that I've talked to from a handicapping standpoint never lowered Louisville after that loss. So they've been very tough throughout the whole season, lost a game that could have gone either way. I think they could sneak into the top four, too, with a loss. But they need a little more help just because it's out of their hands.
I got you. Hey, Chris, you know, moving here back into state Alabama, both Alabama and Auburn both won last week. I wouldn't say either one was, you know, overly impressive. Bama won 10-0. Auburn beat Alabama beat LSU 10-0 at LSU, and Auburn beat Vandy 23-16 down on the Plains. So my question there, it appears now that the Iron Bowl is going to determine who's going to represent the West. I think the line is Alabama about -14. Give us your thoughts on this game. Number one, is that line, you think that's about right? And second part, do you think Auburn has a legitimate chance to beat Alabama in the Iron Bowl?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I'm running the game. So I have it up on the board right now, and I'm using Alabama 14 over Auburn. So that's a number that I think is right. But once again, you know, just watch any Saturday of college football, and you'll see 14-point dogs that do win outright. It's not like the NFL.
Right.
And I think that, yeah, Auburn right now is playing some very good football. I think Auburn has just suffered from maybe like playing down to their competition a little bit. Like that Vandy game is a perfect example where I think they kind of, you know, they just kind of sleepwalked through the whole game, and, you know, I think they pretty much had it in hand the whole way, but they certainly didn't look impressive. Well, you know, they're not going to sleepwalk through a game with Alabama. I mean, they're going to be up, and it doesn't matter where it's at. You know, and I think Bama deserves to be a two-touchdown favorite. I mean, they really, that defense, you know, totally throttled LSU, which had been playing some pretty good offense ever since Ed Orgeron took over.
Right.
You know, but Alabama just completely shut them down and shut them out. And, you know, I think that right now this is one of the better defenses I've seen in a long time. And their offense isn't so bad either, even though they only put up 10 against LSU. But I think they're a legit 14-point favorite. But, yeah, I think Auburn absolutely has a chance of beating them. They'll have to play the game of the year, no doubt, for Auburn. And everything has to go right.
Right.
No turnovers, nothing like that. Maybe have something like a punt return.
Or,
you know, or an interception return.
Chris, Ronnie just broke out in sweat when you said a punt return or kick return.
Field goal.
Yeah, he's still flashing back.
Okay, well, we had him on tilt when we exposed him for being on top of that crossbar too, Jason. So I think that kind of set him off.
Hey, Chris, let me ask you this. Let me give you a hypothetical here before I turn it back to Jason. Let's just hypothetically say that Auburn beats Alabama in the Iron Bowl. They go on and represent the West. They win the Southeastern Conference championship. Is there a chance, and I know this would have to be how some other games play out, but would there still be a chance, a legitimate reason, for Alabama also to make the playoff even with a one loss to Auburn?
Yeah, I think that there's a real good possibility there. But, of course, you'd have to see a couple other things happen. I don't think they would trump an undefeated Washington. I don't think so. I don't think they would trump an undefeated Clemson. You know, they'd have to have something weird happen in one of those two championship games, or again, something weird happen in the Ohio State Michigan game where somebody got blown out or looked really bad or something like that. So I think they could possibly. Now, once again, you know, I know the committee is not supposed to be like this, but you know, they're human, and you know, your pedigree, your history is going to mean an awful lot. And listen, you know, you hate to say it, especially a guy, I'm sure Jason isn't going to want to hear this either, but I'm not crazy about saying it. But, you know, if anybody deserves it, it is Alabama. You know, they've just been up in that high echelon, in the highest echelon for 5-6 years now. So, I mean, if there were one team that did deserve, you know, get cut a break, so to speak, it would be Bama.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Alabama needs all the breaks they can get.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it, sure.
Hey, Chris, before we get to the Iron Bowl, get to the actual Iron Bowl, both teams got a couple of more games, not too much on the Alabama side. Auburn still has to go to Athens and play Georgia, which could be a tough one, usually is. Auburn, a 10-point favorite right now. Give us your thoughts on this one, and is 10 points too much?
Well, I don't think it's too much. As a matter of fact, I made my number a lot higher on this one, and I know Auburn sometimes, like I said, they kind of sleepwalk through some opponents and play down to some of their lesser opponents.
Right.
I don't think they're going to play down to a lesser opponent here. You know, that's been a pretty good rivalry. I think I read somewhere it's the oldest rivalry in the South, actually. Is that true?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't think that Auburn's not going to be, you know, caught looking ahead or, like I said, sleepwalking through this game. I don't see that happening. So I expect a real good game out of Auburn this week. Matter of fact, like I said, my numbers come a lot higher. So I kind of like Auburn in this one. I think
you've got me wondering now, Chris, what is your number?
Okay, I made it 16.
Wow. That makes me want to go jump back on Auburn even more than I was.
You know, Jason, I've noticed sometimes you're too close to, what's the saying? You're too close to the forest, you can't see the tree.
Yeah.
You know, that's you sometimes with Auburn. You have, it's the power of negative thinking. I think Auburn is right. Listen, I could be wrong. God knows Georgia could beat them straight up. But that's what my numbers came to, was Auburn at 16. Because I don't think much of Georgia this year. You know, they haven't been all that good. But like I said, I think Auburn definitely is, you know, they'll be on fire, I think, when they go into Athens. And I'm looking for a good game out of Auburn this week.
Good deal. That sounds like a winner to me. Let me give you one more, and then I'll let Ronnie hit you with a couple. Go to the western side of the state. about as I hate to say the name, Alabama, about a 30-point favorite over a Mississippi State team that knocked off Texas A&M last weekend. Give us your thoughts on this one.
Well, you know, that one looks a little high to me. You know, you got Bama coming off a huge win, and they know that was a big game for them. And, you know, they were very vulnerable to lose outright. And I think that they, you know, and again, we're just talking about humans, and I know Nick Saban will come with some, he didn't know it was Election Day. I'd like to call bull on that. You know, come on. But I think they knew that was a huge game and legitimately probably the last one that they really have a chance to lose until they get to the Iron Bowl. And I just think, you know, their kids, they figure to let down a little bit this week. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, 30 points against a team that obviously showed last week that they're capable. They're a pretty good outfit. And I think they probably hang in there with Bama and, you know, maybe lose by, you know, 21 or 24, maybe even 27. But I still think they get the dough if you're out betting and taking the points. I would definitely lean towards taking the points in that one.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Chris, before we get to some of the your picks for the weekend, let me ask you this question. If Chris had to bet on a team outside of the current top four, which team would it be that would win the national title?
Well, I think under those conditions, it's just game. There's only one team you could say, and that's Ohio State. And that's because they have their destiny in their own hands. You know, if they beat Michigan at home, then they'll play for the Big Ten championship. And then I think they'd probably be a pretty big favorite over whoever comes over on the other side. And then they could go into the Final Four and win it. So, I mean, I think that's the only team that can actually do it themselves. You know, like I said, you talk about Louisville or some of these other teams, they need help along the way, whereas Ohio State can just do it. You know, they can win it and take care of business. And, you know, in all honesty, I thought they would be a team that would be improving over the course of this year, but I haven't seen a whole lot of improvement out of Ohio State. So I'm not crazy about them as a team right now, but I think at least they have enough where they could do it themselves. And they still got one of the great coaches in college football today in Urban Meyer. So can they pull it off? Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. Thanks, Chris. Hey, last question for me. We all know, those of us who are here at the station listening to the radio, we know you have been on fire, smoking hot with your picks as of late. When you pick when you pick Wyoming over Boise State, I was like, that guy, he's got to be smoking the reefer again. But,
but I haven't done that in years. That is my goal.
But
I'm 60 years old. I gave that up a while ago. But I didn't in my younger days. I did.
But you bingoed that, which I was just floored. So with that in mind, what have you got? What are you looking at that looks good this weekend?
Well, you know, I'm always going to have a couple that look good. But I got a game tonight I kind of like. I like Duke tonight over North Carolina. I don't know if they can win the game, but I think they can hang in there against Carolina. And, you know, I like Duke getting some points at home, getting, you know, talking about 10.5, 11. So I like Duke. I think they hang in there. You know, I try not to say much about Penn State because that is my school, but I think Penn State right now is really on fire and really believing in themselves. And I like Penn State laying 7 at Indiana. And, but I got a couple of favorites this week, and I'm not always crazy about that. But here's one. I like Iowa State playing Kansas, laying 10 with a team with one win under their belt. But they're playing another team with only one win under their belt. So I think Iowa State, really, if you go back and look at their record this year, and, you know, the Big 12, I know the Big 12 isn't the greatest conference, but still pretty decent teams. We're talking about TCU and Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and West Virginia. You know, pretty good teams. And Iowa State has fought bravely against every single one of those and really has a terrific point spread record, even though they only have one win. But now they're playing Kansas, a team they know they can go in there and beat this team. And I think they really show up and play really well and get that second win and cover 10 points against Kansas. Of course, I got a couple more. I'll tell you, I got one. I'm going against all the steam. The whole world's on Air Force this week against Colorado State. But I like Colorado State. You know, it's a pretty good team that's playing much, much better lately. And, you know, one of the advantages Air Force has when they host other teams is because they are at altitude, they can wear out the other team. Well, Colorado State's at virtually the same altitude. They're just about 100 miles up the road.
Right.
And I think that that neutralizes a lot of the Air Force home field advantage. Colorado State, like I said, playing a lot better. You're getting 6 points in a pretty good rivalry game. So that's one that I like. I like Colorado State in that one.
Great. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that, man.
Good deal. All right, Chris, we've got about 3 minutes, so I'm going to throw out some goofy questions. These has nothing to do with sports, just something to keep
okay.
you guys on your toes.
Oh, nothing to do with sports. Okay.
Well, not much.
Not much.
All right, start with you, Ronnie. Which happened first, the first football game or work on the New York subway?
First football game or work on the New York subway? First football game.
All right, Chris?
Subway.
The first football game, 1869. The work started on the New York subway in 1900.
All right.
Oh, man, jeez.
All right,
that's
Chris.
That's my favorite part of the yeah. show, by the way.
I want everybody to know I am up 1-0 right now.
Yeah, you better keep up with that. Because you got stuck.
Right.
All right, Chris, to you, which cost more, the average cost of a new house in 1930 or a 1976 Plymouth Arrow?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the Plymouth Arrow.
Okay, Ronnie?
Or a home?
A home in 1930.
Yeah.
A Plymouth Arrow in 1976.
I'll take the home.
The home is correct.
Hey!
Oh, man.
I'm strapping him, baby.
In 1930, the average house was $7,145. In 1976, a Plymouth Arrow was $3,175.
What about
Man, wow.
All right, Ronnie, 2-0.
I have to say, the things I know or happen to guess are absolutely useless, you know?
Ronnie.
Join the club.
Which happened first?
Yes.
The first Susan B. Anthony coin was minted?
Yeah.
Or HBO became a company?
HBO became a company?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a trick question, so I'm going with HBO.
HBO. All right, Chris?
I hate to agree with them, but I got to go with HBO myself.
All right. You're both correct. HBO first became a company in 1972, Susan B.
Wow.
Anthony coin in 1978.
Wow, I didn't know that.
All right.
Just for the record, I'm 3-0. Just saying.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Chris, to you, and these has really nothing to do with each other, but they just happen to fall in the same category here. Chris, which happened first? Seat belts were required in all vehicles, or Domino's Pizza started?
What happened first? I'm going to say seat belts.
Okay.
Ready? I'm going seat belts. I have to go.
Seat belts, correct. 1955, Domino's Pizza started in 1960.
Oh, man. Boy, can I have a list of those? I want to hang on to those. Yeah.
All right. Last one. Ronnie, which cost more, a 1958 new house, not the average house, a new house in 1958,
right,
or a 1984 Chrysler New Yorker?
I'll go with the New Yorker.
The New Yorker. Chris?
Well, I think a house, because I'll tell you what, my dad bought a house right about then when I was born and paid about $10,000 for a house. So I think that's a little more than what a New Yorker was.
All right. Chris, bad as I hate to say it, Ronnie's right again.
Jeez, oh man, he shut me down.
A 1984 Chrysler New Yorker, $13,045.
Yeah. Wow.
And Chris,
wow,
you're real close on the house. A 1958 new house, $12,750.
Jeez, oh man.
So, Chris, if you need to know something that has no bearing on anything, I'm your man.
Okay, I'm going to totally ignore that picture of you on top of the goalpost.
Because I'm enjoying this so much, I'm going to throw in my own question. Which happened first? Classes were canceled to allow college students to cope with the shock of Trump's win, or Trump and Obama shook hands?
I'm going to say the cancellation.
That's what I say, cancellation.
Yeah, probably. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
They're both equally unrealistic, but they both happened.
Hey, Chris, man, we can't tell you again how much we appreciate you joining us each week. It is a barrel of fun and laughs, and, man, we couldn't enjoy it anymore. Thanks a lot.
All the same, fellas, believe me, it's a labor of love. So look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, have a great weekend, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Right,
appreciate it, bud.
All right.
See you later.
That's bye. Almost how I refer to watching Alabama football, you know, when you're worried if they're going to win the game or not. You know,
yeah.
Labor of love.
Chris Andrews with, what is it, Pinnacle? No, it ain't Pinnacle. That's offshore.
That's offshore.
South Point, something point.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's in Las Vegas.
Out of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah, South Point Hotel and Casino. That's where the meetings that I used to go to in Vegas were at.
Oh, okay.
South Point Hotel and Casino.
There How would is. You like to work in a building where there's a shake and steak across the lobby from you? That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
That would be a lot larger than I am now.
501, when we come back, we will have Dan Vosta, the football knowledge man. Stay with us.
Providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center. Choose the apple over the cookie. Take the stairs instead of the elevator. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional, we offer so many. Water aerobics classes, blood drives, CPR certification, tobacco treatment programs, over 1,000 screenings. Most all are totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional. Live exceptional. From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. A judge says a potential change in prosecutors won't delay the scheduled capital murder trial of a man awaiting his day in court for more than 9 years. Caron Davis is scheduled to go to trial in September 2017 in the 2007 slaying of 30-year-old Pete Reeves. District Attorney Doug Valeska will be replaced by DA-elect Pat Jones in January. Jones says a conflict may prevent him from serving as prosecutor in the case, meaning the Alabama Attorney General's office would appoint a prosecutor to the case. Governor Bentley has set the dates of a special election to fill the District 67 seat in the House of Representatives. Representative Dario Melton, a Democrat from Selma, is vacating the seat after being elected mayor of Selma. A special primary election is set for January 31st. Huntsville will join the list of cities with a downtown bike-sharing program next year. Starting March 1st, downtown Blue Bikes will make 40 bicycles available to members for local use. This is the Alabama Radio Network. An Alabama congresswoman was forced into an unexpectedly tight race after becoming one of the few Republicans in the state to speak out against Donald Trump. U.S. Representative Martha Roby won a fourth term Tuesday night, but by a narrow margin after a large number of write-in votes drained support from the Republican incumbent. Unofficial returns show that at least 29,000 write-in votes were cast in the conservative district that stretches from Montgomery through southeast Alabama. While voters in Hartselle have finally passed liquor sales in their city, the regulations for those sales have yet to be finished. City council members say they want to make regulations similar to those in Cullman and Athens. Proposed regulations at the next meeting on November 22nd include no Sunday sales, a limit on how close to schools and churches sales can take place, and a ban on single beer sales at gas stations. Greenville will be looking for a new police chief for the first time in decades. 67-year-old Lonzo Ingram is retiring after 45 years in law enforcement, the last 32 as Greenville's police chief. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In sports, Nick Saban is on the verge of another milestone victory, another number that shows just how dominant his teams have been at Alabama. A victory by the Crimson Tide against Mississippi State this Saturday in Tuscaloosa would be Saban's 40th when Alabama is ranked number one, matching Bobby Bowden and Woody Hayes for the most wins coaching an AP number one team.
Saban is currently 39-5 in games when the Tide is number one. Bowden was 40-5 with Florida State as number one. Hayes went 40-6 with Ohio State. The difference? Bowden coached Florida State for 34 seasons. Hayes was at Ohio State for 28. Saban is in his 10th season with the Crimson Tide. Yet Coach Nick Saban on the presidential election claims he didn't even realize Tuesday was election day.
It was so important to me that I didn't even know it was happening. We're focused on other things here.
Saban says he just wants what's best for the country. Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Hey, Coleman. We're now in the month of November, which means we're just a month away from Christmas. Your local vendors at the Coleman Warehouse District want to help you get a kick start on your shopping this year. And to do that, they're having an open house the weekend of November 11th through November 13th. Join Live 95 as we do a festive live broadcast. But the fun doesn't stop there. Fun for the whole family is planned for the entire weekend. We'll have a car show on Saturday, and the local delis and bakeries in the Warehouse District will be open for extended hours during the event, and local food trucks will also be on site. No Christmas would even be complete without Santa greeting our children either. And several shops and merchants will offer prizes and drawings. The Warehouse District merchants have also joined together and will be offering a grand prize drawing, which includes a miniature Christmas tree filled with gift cards from most of the Warehouse District merchants. So make a note on your calendar now, November 11th through the 13th, the downtown Coleman Warehouse District, as Live 95 helps to kick off Christmas in the Warehouse District. From your friends at the Coleman Warehouse District and all of us here at Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station. Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. From a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
Seven Sports Talk Live Thursday afternoon. At this time each Thursday, Dan the Man joins
us.
And today is no different. Dan, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Happy Thursday to you.
You too. And Dan, I gotta ask you, what is going on in the city of Chicago after the election? Anything exciting?
No, nothing too much. It's amazing. If you would have told me, I don't know, maybe even 6 months ago, but the Cubs win the World Series, and now with the new president of Donald Trump, I mean, certainly people take it to social media, but nothing too crazy here. We're kind of enjoying the weather still in the 60s, so
wow.
I don't know how crazy this happens. Not too often. Occasionally we get decent weather around Thanksgiving, but we've had a really good fall here, at least weather-wise, and could be happier now that we're getting closer to the end of college ball season before it's arguably my favorite postseason, bowling. And I love every bowl game. I can't believe we're getting closer to it.
Yeah, it is here. And, Dan, if you run across any rain, please send it to us. We are 50-something days without rain here, so...
Alrighty.
All right, let's jump into football. Texas A&M appeared at number 4 in the first college football playoff poll, and 1 week and they're done, beat by Mississippi State. Did Texas A&M ever deserve to be in that spot, or were they overrated?
I think, obviously, it's looking like they're a little overrated. I thought they were worthy, though, of at least a 5th or 6th ranking spot overall, and so I think they kind of threw them a bone there with the 4th ranking, despite a loss at a tougher schedule than UW. But the Huskies of Washington looked like the better team this year without a loss, plus they've looked dominant for the most part. So, yeah, a little overrated. I think it just was a tough matchup once Trevor Knight went down, and now he may not be back until at least the bowl game minimum, potentially. And then, obviously, Myles Garrett was very ineffective, was on the sideline with an injury as well. Those are probably their two most important players, and definitely two of their best 5 or 6 in terms of who's on the team right now. It's still a very talented team. They had a great chance to get to a New Year's Six bowl game. They still have LSU. Obviously, they play Ole Miss this weekend in a matchup involving backup quarterback type of bowl game here. But still, it's been a very good season. Many were fearful that Kevin Sumlin would lose his job or lose 6+ games, and that's not the case. So, a little overrated, sure. Not quite ready for the limelight. But nonetheless, still been a very good year. If they could avoid a disastrous finish, it would be a big-time success for the Aggies in 2016. But clearly, there were some other teams that thought Washington, mainly the one and only, that was definitely more worthy than this past, you know, college football ranking, so just over a week ago.
Okay. Hey, while we're talking about the poll and we move on, give us your thoughts on this week's poll and what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, certainly you look at the chalk in terms of the top six or seven, throw Wisconsin, I suppose, in there, and then Auburn as well. Those teams can win out with two losses and still get in. The interesting part would be which team were to lose. So if it's in Alabama, I still think, barring a disaster loss to Auburn where they lose big time by double figures, I think they wouldn't fall more than, you know, the number four spot, but I think Auburn would likely move up, assuming they beat whoever wins the East. So that would be very intriguing. But I think Louisville is definitely in a tremendous spot. Now, sure, they're going to need Washington to lose a game, and they got to hope that they look good along the way, Louisville, which last couple weeks they looked pretty good, last week at least. They're capable of scoring 50-plus in anybody, essentially. And I think certainly the Ohio State-Michigan loser, I'm not 100% confident, but I don't like their chances, the Michigan-Ohio State loser, to prevail over a one-loss Louisville team because you have a Heisman front-runner, heavyweight favorite, Lamar Jackson. The offenses look great. They're not going to lose a game. It would be a pretty big upset, more so than Trump beating Hillary Clinton, I think, is how I compare this Louisville team. They're looking borderline flawless offensively. It's going to be tough for them to lose to Kentucky team. Houston, they're playing some jabroni-like competition. Kentucky's probably by far their best competition, who's been pretty good for the most part despite their recent loss to Georgia. So I love where Louisville's at. I would love to see. I'd be licking my chops. I'd be drooling if I could see Lamar Jackson against the Alabama 85 Bears. I mean, the Alabama Crimson Tide defense.
Yeah,
I would pay to watch that matchup right now. So I'm hoping they get there, but obviously Washington has to lose. And then the Ville have to look very good as well. So other than that, the teams are pretty much 10 down to 20. It's a crapshoot. Carolina and Florida State, I would probably take over anybody outside the top 9 or 10, but Florida State's got 3 losses, Carolina with 2. A bad loss to Vatek in terms of they got obliterated in that game. But the likes of Colorado, Utah, Penn State obviously is very high. A lot of these teams, not many people had a chance to think they were going to rank in the top 20. That just shows you after the top 6 or 7, it's pretty much wide open. But obviously the top 7, those are the only teams I think have a shot of getting a CFP, throwing the Badgers and War Eagle.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
Great. Hey, Dan, I think all of us can probably agree that Alabama so far this year, they've been at a different level from any other, you know, college teams. That's why they're ranked number one. But on the flip side of that, give me two teams you think that's in the poll that would have the best chance to beat Alabama.
Well, the Vegas experts think that Louisville and Ohio State are the two best. They'd only be about a touchdown to 8-point dogs. And Clemson's right there, and Michigan's right there. So I think those are easily the four biggest challengers. But for me personally, give me Clemson and Louisville to hang with Alabama because they have two, Marcus Mariota, Deshaun Watson, just look at last year's national championship game, over 400 yards. So I think Clemson and Louisville because they have arguably the two best players in the country, at least offensively at the most important position in all sports. They got a puncher's chance to at least hang in there with Alabama if perhaps catch a few breaks, and maybe dominate the Crimson Tide and special teams this year, unlike last year's national championship. Perhaps the ACC's top two teams could knock off the Tide, but they're going to have some things, obviously. The ball needs to roll their way.
Great. Hey, while we mention Alabama there, Dan, we know that Alabama defeated LSU last week 10-0. However, after three quarters, you know, we got two goose eggs. There's no score at all. My question is Alabama's defense that good, or was the LSU offense that bad?
I think it's definitely a lot of both, not just a little. Alabama's defense is, you know, perhaps not only the best in this country this season, but perhaps best ever in the Nick Saban era at Alabama. And there's so much depth, it's almost illegal. It's, you know, like the sliders in a video game. Everybody, if you play an old NCAA football game, I like to challenge myself on the Heisman mode. And, you know, that was one of the only few video games sports-wise I play. You play the mascots, every player, kicker, punter, snapper, water boy, they're all 99s across the board, strength, speed, quickness, yeah, whatever the case may be. It seems like that's the case with Alabama's players. It was such a big move with Jonathan Allen coming back because he's been a world beater. And even with the loss of Eddie Jackson, the secondary is just so so much fun to watch. And we know how big and physical their linebackers are, and they have plenty of speed at the college level to go sideline to sideline. So, yes, their defense is as good as it gets. They've shown that pretty much every week. Few teams, Ole Miss, Arkansas, have thrown on them, but it turns out when you score a few points or move the ball in Alabama, it turns out you got to play great defense, because it turns out Alabama is tough to stop in the red zones, a la Jalen Hurts. So, yes, they're that good. And LSU, we'd say they're miserable. They're not, you know, the worst offensive team in the FBS, Power 5, or not even the SEC. But with their talent level, it's been a big-time disappointment, because they got a half a dozen to a dozen pros that are playing now. That could probably help out a few NFL teams today. So it's very unfortunate. You know, without a great quarterback, without confidence in your coaching staff and your players, man, more than likely, they just played field position. They couldn't get anything going. So it's really more the Alabama defense. We've seen this LSU offense, barring the last few weeks where they played a few JV squads per se. They haven't been able to move the ball that well this year. And a lot of it goes to everywhere. Coaching staff, players, the confidence. Anywhere you want to talk about, LSU's offense has been bad, but Alabama's defense, for me, gets all the credit in the world.
Thanks, Dan.
Hey, Dan, one more question concerning the Alabama-LSU matchup, and this is about Leonard Fournette. After two games of playing Alabama, his total yardage doesn't crack 70 yards. He had 31 last year, 35 this year, for a total of 66. Give us your thoughts on Fournette. Is he overrated?
No, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, he did have a very good game, over 100 yards, in his freshman year when they lost to Alabama in overtime. But you're right. The last 2 years, it's been an embarrassment for LSU. They have not beaten them going back to that national championship loss. And I've been pointing that pretty much all off season. That was like the last time the LSU offense, at least going into the game against Alabama, where they were really relevant. They scared opposing defenses in the SEC in the country. We saw them on all clicking all cylinders, and then that night, Jordan Jefferson, if I'm not mistaken, you guys should remember as well as me perhaps, that Jordan Jefferson, that LSU offense, did not cross midfield until, I believe, the fourth quarter. That's the comparison we're watching LSU offensively, and it comes with, unfortunately, with Leonard Fournette kind of getting a little negativity because he's not getting any help around him. He's been facing 8-9 men boxes all season long. He doesn't look like he's still quite 100% in himself in terms of confidence, but clearly he's been dinged up this year. The offense has just been atrocious. So is he overrated? Statistically, obviously, but in terms of his talent, he's probably going to still be a top 15 pick. And depending on the situation of where he goes to in the NFL, he goes to Detroit Lions. I think he could have a very good career with Matthew Stafford, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Eric Ebron. They got some good playmakers there. So it really depends on the situation. And the current situation says Leonard Fournette's not going to see that much room to run against very good defenses, and Alabama's a little bit better than that. So it's unfortunate because LSU, the way their offense plays and the scheme, it's a nightmare for them because that's Alabama's strength. Loading the box up, big physical guys, and that's what Leonard Fournette is. And he can't go 1-on-8 because those 8-man fronts would maybe potentially slow down a few of the worst teams like the Cleveland Browns and San Francisco 49ers.
I agree with that.
Hey, one more thing when we're talking about overrated, the SEC East. Man, the past few years have been down, and every year we think somebody, Tennessee, Florida, somebody's going to pop out of there and challenge Alabama or whoever comes out of the West. What do you see happening in the East this year? Who goes to Atlanta to play Alabama or Auburn?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to two games. I think one game would be this weekend, assuming Florida does not avoid an upset or avoids one against South Carolina, which I think the Gators will escape. But it really comes down to Florida-LSU later, which give me the Bayou Bengals. And then, obviously, this weekend, you could argue the biggest game is Kentucky at Tennessee, and I'll take the Vols by about a touchdown in that one. So if that happens, Tennessee with a tiebreak over Florida, they'll be the only two teams with three losses. Everybody else will have four or more. And the Vols will more than likely, Tennessee's going to go to Atlanta and probably get buried again, but nonetheless, they'll win the East and lick their wounds in the process. But obviously, it's been a borderline, you know, pretty much disastrous season for the Vols. But they can salvage it a little bit, perhaps, if they can shock the world. But I like Tennessee to win the East.
All right. Hey, Dan, I'm going to throw some categories at you, just like the Country Music Awards, and I'm going to have you to tell me who you think the runner-up and the winner is of each category. So I'll give them to you one at a time, and then you can answer them. We'll go on to the next one. All right, the first is the best team offensively.
I'll go, and then the country here we're talking. So I'll go the Clemson Tigers, strictly Deshaun Watson, Jordan Leggett at tight end, Artavis Scott receiver, Deion Kane, Mike Williams. This team is filthy. They're as good as anybody in the country. Wayne Gallman, by the way, will probably be no worse than mid-round draft slots this year. They got six or seven legit pros. They're skilled players, in my opinion, are easily, not far above, but they'd be my choice, best in the country. O-line's not great, but those skilled players will all be playing or at least potentially starting next season in the NFL, without most of them likely being gone.
Okay. Now, okay, is that the best? Is that your runner-up or your winner?
I'm going to go Clemson, best offensive team.
All right, who's the runner-up?
Runner-up, wow, you can pick your poison. A couple good ones. I'll kind of lean with Louisville at this moment in time because I think with Lamar Jackson, they're dropping 50. I know they're not playing great teams, but I like to see Louisville play better teams. They'd still score, I think, closer to 40. But I'll go Louisville, runner-up.
Okay. Best defensive team, runner-up.
Yeah, exactly. I like that question there. I'll go Michigan behind Alabama. Michigan statistically is actually above Alabama, but they have played a couple of your family members, a couple of my family members. They played nobody. You know, Jim Harbaugh says, who has it better? Nobody. And that's true because Michigan has played nobody. But right. They're a very good team. I think they're going to go win out and go 13-0 before more than likely matched up with Clemson.
Okay. Best offensive player, runner-up, and winner.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson. I'll go winner, and then runner-up. It's a crapshoot. You could just flip a coin between a lot of players. I still think Dalvin Cook is a potential All-Pro running back in the NFL. Their O-line for Florida State this year, for the most part, has stunk in critical games. But Dalvin Cook, I think, is the next Clinton Portis. So he's going to run for 1,500 yards next year as a rookie in the NFL, barring he doesn't get picked by the Browns. So I think he's in for a big-time year. He's electric. Depending on how much mileage he can suffer and sustain the NFL, I wouldn't say he's a Hall of Fame talent, but he's at least an All-Pro talent. So I'll go Lamar Jackson and Dalvin Cook 1-2.
Okay. Best defensive player?
Yeah, I'll go Jonathan Allen, Alabama. He's pretty much Michael Bennett of the Seattle Seahawks. You could put him inside, you could put him outside. He's so smart, and he's so disciplined. Very good technique. He's been an absolute superstar this year for the Crimson Tide. I'm convinced if he would have left, their defense would not be nearly as good. It'd still be a top three unit, but they're so amazing this year at number one. Give me him at one. And number two, I'm going to go with out there. Obviously, Myles Garrett might go number one in the draft still if Jonathan Allen doesn't beat him out for that. But I'll go Peppers, runner-up for what he's meant for that Michigan team. But Jonathan Allen, number one.
I got you. Best special teams player.
Yeah, I'll go Christian Kirk, Texas A&M. He is electric. He's a better version of Tavon Austin, who plays for the L.A. Rams. So give me Kirk as the winner. And runner-up, you could go Peppers. You could go Evan Berry, who's now out for the year for the Vols. Adoree Jackson's really good for USC. But winner, Christian Kirk, Aggies.
Okay. Coach of the year.
Wow. You could just pick any of the four teams that make the dance, per se. But even if they do lose a game, I like that right now at this moment in time, give me Chris Peterson of Washington. They had hype going into the year. They've lived up to and then some. It's amazing what he's done with Jake Browning. That passing game was not very good last year. It's arguably top five in the country this year. So Chris Peterson, former Smurf Turf head coach, now for the Washington Huskies.
Fantastic. Okay. Overachiever of the year. Team.
Wow, just look at your top 15 teams right now in the rankings. Colorado, I had going bowling this year, and I actually got some whispers of, if I was, on some alcohol or something with those picks, because, I don't mind having a few Coors Lights, but Colorado, I thought, was going to be a decent, respectable team that would win 6 to 7 games minimum. I didn't think anything more than 8 was really possible, and they're looking like a lock to win 9 games this year. So it's amazing that they're ranked 12th. I don't think they're really, nowhere near top 12, maybe in talent. I would probably take 5 teams just in the SEC, but they're having a great year. Got to give them props. Colorado, Buffaloes, followed up by Utah, so both teams in the Pac-12.
All right. Did I say underachiever?
No, you did not, okay. But I'll give you 2 of them.
That's the one
and
I want.
I think they're just one. I'll go to the SEC. I'll go barely. I'm going to lead my Tennessee Vols. I thought they were more locked to win 10 games minimum in the regular season, and they're hopeful just to get the 10 wins when January and the postseason's over. They had so much talent. They've had so much friction. They couldn't really sustain that early schedule, which I thought was going to be tough for them. But they just really have not been able to pick up the pieces. Even after these losses, they've kind of gone south. But I still think they'll find a way. But still, a disastrous year for the Tennessee Vols.
All right. Last one of those. Two teams most likely to play in the national title game.
Yeah, Alabama, for sure, I think. And then I'm going to go with Clemson. So I'm going to go with the rematch from last year. I think Louisville, Michigan's not far behind. But Alabama, Clemson, best offense in the country versus best defense. And we know Alabama can score some points, play some special teams. So that would be a dream matchup. It would be just amazing to watch back-to-back years. This one would be in Florida. So be looking forward to that one.
Fantastic. I'd like to see that matchup myself. All right, last question I got for you, Dan. Give me your top two games of the upcoming weekend, and who is on upset alert?
Yeah, I'll give you a little two birds, one stone. I think the Washington Huskies and the USC Trojans is a must-see game. It's probably going to be the game of the week. It may rain, go figure, in Seattle. I think I got to put the UW Huskies on upset alert. This is by far their toughest challenge against USC. USC's moved up to the top 20. They're on fire right now, one of the hotter teams in the nation. I'm going to go on a limb, and not really confident, but I'm going to go on a limb, and I like the USC Trojans to pull this upset off. True freshman Sam Darnold on the road will be a tough challenge, but he's been playing great. And Ronald Jones is a sophomore running back that you guys, if you do watch this game Saturday night, he's a future pro. He's a true sophomore, so we'll get to see him two more years. But he is electric, and he's healthy, running well behind a big physical Trojan offensive line. Washington lost their top linebacker for the season. That'll be a great game. It would really shake up, obviously, the rankings. And then quickly, my second game, I'll stick with the SEC. LSU at Arkansas. They've been going through some great battles over the years. LSU lost at home to Arkansas last year. I think they get redemption this year, but it's going to be a close game. The LSU secondary against the Razorbacks receivers will be great to watch. Arkansas coming off an emotional, big-time, emphatic victory over the Gators. I don't think there's going to be much of a letdown, but I think LSU is going to bounce back and get a nice, solid victory here. I still just like the LSU talent a little bit much to, you know, completely fall on their face here. So it's going to be a back-and-forth game. Wouldn't be surprised if either team wins, but I'm leaning with LSU. It's going to be a great game Saturday night.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan. We wrapped up right on time for a change, I'll tell you. So we're going to let you get home and get you something to eat and get ready to watch a ball game tonight.
You got it. Love it. Appreciate you guys having me on, as always.
We can't tell you how much we appreciate you joining us, man. The knowledge you bring to this show is second to none, and we very much appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, as always, and enjoy the rest of your night. Enjoy the games this weekend.
All right. Have a great one, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
You too, guys. Take care. You got it.
All right. Dan, the man, Vosta, Campus Insider.
The book of knowledge.
As always. 5:28. We'll be right back. Be throwing a line out in the water.
I'm going to wait a hook, baby.
Stay with us.
Did you know that you can save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill? Since 2004, Cyber Broadband has been known across Coleman County as the only provider to bring broadband internet access to rural areas not served by cable or telephone providers, and all without those pesky data caps. Now Cyber Broadband, which is a locally owned and operated company, is introducing a competitive broadband product, Cyber Next Gen DSL, available through Cyber Broadband for on average 10% less than the other providers. Get those cyber benefits, like a $10 referral discount for anyone else that you refer to the service, or bundle with the Cyber Broadband Cellular Service. Save 10% or more on your broadband internet bill today. More information is available at cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Not available in all areas. Generally, if you sign up for broadband service through another company and their promotional discount has expired, Cyber's retail price will be 10% less than the competition standard pricing or better. Chances are, if you don't qualify for the phone company's DSL, you won't qualify for Cyber's next-gen DSL service either, but you may still qualify for Cyber Broadband's radio service. More information is available at www.cyberbroadband.net or by phone at 256-734-1077. Woo, it's tough work, but somebody's got to do it.
Hey, Coleman, we're now in the month of November, which means we're just a month away from Christmas. Your local vendors at the Coleman Warehouse District want to help you get a kick start on your shopping this year. And to do that, they're having an open house the weekend of November 11th through November 13th. Join Live 95 as we do a festive live broadcast. But the fun doesn't stop there. Fun for the whole family is planned for the entire weekend. We'll have a car show on Saturday, and the local delis and bakeries in the Warehouse District will be open for extended hours during the event, and local food trucks will also be on site. No Christmas would even be complete without Santa greeting our children either, and several shops and merchants will offer prizes and drawings. The Warehouse District merchants have also joined together and will be offering a grand prize drawing, which includes a miniature Christmas tree filled with gift cards from most of the Warehouse District merchants. So make a note on your calendar now, November 11th through the 13th, the Downtown Coleman Warehouse District, as Live 95 helps to kick off Christmas in the Warehouse District. From your friends at the Coleman Warehouse District and all of us here at Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Friday, December 9th at the Coleman Civic Center, the music, the moves, the memories of the King lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTribute Live.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTribute Live.com for more information.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. It is 5:33, and we've got our good buddy, Mr. Rex Chambers, here with us today. He's actually in the studio and not on the phone, so that's even better. Rex, how are you, buddy?
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
I got you,
there
son.
There you go.
I got you, so. Yeah, if somebody has a fishing question, a want any kind of information, give us a call, 737-9505. Rex has got a few minutes he can stay here with us, but he can't stay long because he's got other things he has to go tend to now that the man's retired.
You got a hot date tonight with a bowling ball,
right? Bowling ball, that's exactly right. So glad you could join us, Rex. Thanks, man.
It's good to be here.
I hear you. Hey, before we get into fishing, we were talking a little bit. Were you surprised by the election returns? Or no. The way the presidency turned out.
No,
honestly, you were not surprised.
Honestly, you can check.
You're the only one.
You can check it. I have several friends who I told that was the way it was gonna. I actually thought it was gonna be a landslide.
Did you really?
So it was a little closer than I thought.
Yeah.
And I mean,
What made you think that?
The unknown. Too many people on the right didn't want to talk about supporting Trump.
Yeah.
But I knew they would.
Yeah.
And they did.
At the end. Because I think at one time there, he only had 70-something percent of the Republican vote. Right. And then I think it ended up, correct me if I'm wrong, I heard 90%.
I got sick of hearing polls.
Yeah. Oh,
polls.
I agree
polls,
with you.
And I said, they're wrong, there's no way, and they're wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was tickled, and I'm, I'm sure there's some publications that aren't too happy about it, but you know, it's the way it goes.
Hey, somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose.
There you go. There you go.
You know, you say that, and I got on the internet because I wanted to read how that publication that you're thinking of covered it. They reprinted an AP speech. They didn't even write it.
Okay.
They were probably in their safe spaces, Rex.
Hey, and this week's public service announcement from Rex. Don't we have a new mayor in the city?
Yeah.
Fix 157.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. No lie. At 5:15, it took me almost 15 minutes to get from the hospital to Eva Road.
Wow.
That's horrible.
From the hospital to Eva Road.
I stopped the other side of the bridge in traffic.
Oh, my gosh. Now, I've almost stopped to the bridge.
Now,
I've never been caught on
now,
the
of course. Now, wow. Then some woman thinks she's going to go across in the left lane and go up and turn left. And it don't happen
it don't
that,
work
way.
That way.
She got about, she couldn't get back in. She had to get over. And I ain't going to say she had a big Alabama sticker on her back. You know.
Did I undo it? Oh, man. Wow. That is bad. What if you're trying to get to the lake?
If I'd have been going fishing, we'd been in trouble. Now, I'd have been her in the left lane, probably.
Absolutely right. Exactly. Hey, speaking about fishing, did you go today, Rex? Have you been lately?
All day.
All day?
All day.
Did your thumb wore out?
Yes.
Oh.
But not from bass. It was a rough day. Sunday and Monday was really, went to Gunnersville.
Okay.
And Sunday, Monday was really awesome. Numbers, no big ones, you know, a couple of 4-pounders. So I'm thinking we're going to go today. We're going to got like 10 hours over there today.
You got clients you're taking
and
today.
It was horrible.
Horrible today.
Horrible, horrible. We caught a lot of little fish, but ended up going catching stripe the rest of the day. Cool. And once the bass bite, man, we can catch a thousand of those.
Uh-huh.
It was fun, but still we didn't find any big bass.
Right. Okay, going back to, you said, did you say Sunday, Monday was good?
Sunday, Monday, really good.
What did you do Sunday, Monday that you can share with us?
Rattle baits, it didn't matter. Rattle baits. Spinner baits, crank baits, top water, they were everywhere.
It was just
water come down a foot and a half, and I don't know where they went. So tomorrow will be a search and destroy day. Go out and look and see what we did wrong today.
Wow. So Sunday, Monday, great. Water went down, fish gone.
Pretty much, and in different wind direction.
Okay, I was going to ask you, but that was one of the things I was going to ask you about.
And let me tell you what blows my mind is that weathermen actually draw a paycheck.
Yeah, you're right.
Forecast today was 2 to 4 mile an hour, and it was white capping on Gunnersville this morning
at Gunnersville.
That daylight.
Wow.
I mean, it was blowing 15 to 20. It was unreal.
And Nashville can get rough and
hurry. At 12:30 this afternoon, it became light and variable. But the wind totally changed directions. I mean, it was a 180 from where it was blowing in the morning. So,
Would the wind help more than the, as you said, the variable where it calms?
Well, it's the old fishing saying is the wind is your friend.
Yeah.
I ain't got any friends. I hate the wind with passion. I'd rather it be slick calm all day long.
I see. Okay.
You know, the wind blows the bait, you know, and you can follow the wind and hit the points and stuff, but when that water's slick calm is when I do my best.
A lot of people on the lake?
No. Actually wasn't. We probably didn't see 3 bass boats all day.
Okay. Grass? Is it?
It's outrageous. Yeah, plenty of it, especially with the water down a foot and a half.
Yeah.
You know, I actually couldn't throw a rattle bait in places that I threw Sunday, Monday. You just couldn't get it through it.
Because the water is down a little bit.
Made the mats thicker, yeah.
What about the, and I know they do this periodically, and you certainly would be the expert in this, where they kill it off.
The only places they kill it off is around
boathouses.
Yeah, and I told my fellow with me today, we were fishing some boathouses, and you couldn't fish them. There was so much grass. And I watched them spray it middle of September.
And it's?
It's back.
Oh, it's already back.
Yeah, I mean, it took it 2 weeks to die, and it is back with a vengeance. It's twice as thick as it was in September.
So will they turn back and spray again?
Probably so. Okay. Yeah. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think they ain't getting any money left to do much more spraying except for maybe the homeowner association can. But
okay.
I think the state's already blown their budget a grass spraying for
the year. Do you think, Rex, the spraying, whatever it is that kills that, does that have any negative effect on the fish?
Zero.
Nothing with the fish whatsoever?
No, whatsoever. They just move. They just find another patch of grass to go to.
Okay. You've been on Gunnersville. You're going to be Gunnersville tomorrow?
Gunnersville tomorrow, Gunnersville Saturday.
You got clients, or are you fishing for a tournament? Well,
tomorrow's actually just a fun day with a buddy.
Okay.
Then a guide trip on Saturday.
Okay. What about Smith? Have you been lately?
All week last week. It was a mess.
All week.
You catch them good one day, and then the next day you don't. And it took a little over 15 and a half pound to win the autism tournament.
Okay, I was going to ask you about that, and I missed the weight.
I thought it was going to take 17, and one of my tournament partners, my Alabama Bass Trail partner, Brent Crow, he ended up winning. I talked to him about lunch. I had about 10 and a half pound, almost 11 pounds, and I talked to him about lunch, and he's the same thing, just five keepers. And both of us, it might make a top 10. That's all it's going to do. And then we come pulling in the way in. He comes pulling in behind me with the same flight, and he pulls up with this great big smile on his face, and I'm like, uh-oh. And he looked at me and said, three casts 10 minutes ago, three big fish.
Oh, my goodness.
Three big largemouths. So sometimes that takes a little luck. Hey.
Absolutely.
To his credit, I think he's gotten second place 8 times this year in big tournaments. And I was with him 3 of those. Uh-huh. Well, 2 of those. And then one of them I beat him and he got second. Uh-huh. But he finally won one, so bravo, Brent.
How did the tournament, did it go well?
It was awesome. They did a great job. Wesley Sams and his dad and all the people that pitched in and Redberry. There were too many people to talk about, but it was really smooth. Had a lot of the old-timers showed up. A lot of the new kids showed up. And I think they ended up with 109 boats.
109.
And
first year of the tournament.
First year of the tournament, 109 boats. I think they end up raising somewhere around 10,000 or a little better.
Wow.
For the group. So it was a real good deal.
And those monies raised
stays right here locally. It is a group that helps out families with autistic children.
Right. And is this a tournament that they want to try to make this an annual event?
Every year, sometime around October, November.
Okay. Went out of the park.
Went out of the dam. Originally, it was scheduled to go out of the park, and they told us, we might be working on a boat ramp, so we changed it. Glad we did, because there were not a whole lot of water at the park.
Okay.
It's rough at the park.
I got you. So, again, going to be a tournament that's hopefully years to come. It'll still be going on. So
the second annual is already in the works.
I got you. If you're going out there, if you're going to Smith, how can you put a few fish in the boat, even though it's tough and we need some rain?
Same thing. You find some schoolers, catch a few on top water, take a fish head spin, throw it out there a little bit deeper, get below those little ones for the better fish. Jigging spoons, shaky heads. It's a hodgepodge till we get some rain, and then we'll get on good patterns.
Exactly. Got to have some rain.
We need rain, and next Friday? Maybe.
That's what I heard. Maybe next.
I think we've had 53 days in a row.
Yeah. Is that what it was? Because we were talking earlier.
53.
We didn't know. 53 days in a row. Water temp?
64 on the river today. Okay. Kind of surprised me. So these cooler nights are dropping it down just a little bit. And that was on the river. And this past, I haven't been on Smith since Saturday. So, and it was 68, 69 on Smith Lake.
Okay.
So.
And I know you got to run. Last thing here. Going back to Gunnersville. If somebody's going to Gunnersville, what do they need to tie on?
Rattlebait.
Any type of
one? Yeah, half ounce rattlebait. Throw it on the grass edges, 8-9 foot of water. Shallow running crankbait too, and some popars, top waters if you see them schooling.
Fantastic. I would also assume if you're not familiar with and you're out on Smith Lake, you need to be paying attention. Water's down.
Smith Lake still, Smith Lake still Smith Lake.
Right.
There's nothing there that you can't see.
Okay.
If you can't see it, you're probably not going to hit it on Smith.
Okay.
And so it's still good to go.
Okay. Fantastic. Hey, Rex, are there any more tournaments coming up here soon, or is that kind of
No, nothing, nothing major. That's coming up on Smith. I leave out, we will have a Black Friday tournament, on Gunnersville. This will be the fourth annual I put in on. This will be the fourth year we have it. We usually have 30, 40 boats show up.
Yeah.
It's just a fun tournament of an open tournament where several of the guides show up that don't get to fish on pot tournaments much. So.
Yeah.
That'll be out of Waterfront Grocery, $60 entry fee, 100% payback, and it's always a good time.
Yeah, the ladies shop, the guys can fish.
Well, yeah, more or less. Yep, we actually have.
You do have a few ladies.
Yeah, we do have a couple of ladies that show up, and they send their other ass off to do the Christmas shopping.
I hear you. Hey, Rex, I know you got to run, man. If somebody wants to go fishing with you, how can they contact you?
Find me on Facebook, Rex Chambers Fishing, or on the web at smithlakebass.com.
Fantastic. Rex, thanks, buddy, for joining us every Thursday. We really appreciate you coming and giving us your expertise.
Good to see you.
You too. All right, it is 5:45. We're going to take a quick break. Rex is headed to the bowling alley. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live.
Hey, Coleman, we're now in the month of November, which means we're just a month away from Christmas. Your local vendors at the Coleman Warehouse District want to help you get a kick start on your shopping this year. And to do that, they're having an open house the weekend of November 11th through November 13th. Join Live 95 as we do a festive live broadcast. But the fun doesn't stop there. Fun for the whole family is planned for the entire weekend. We'll have a car show on Saturday, and the local delis and bakeries in the Warehouse District will be open for extended hours during the event, and local food trucks will also be on site. No Christmas would even be complete without Santa greeting our children either, and several shops and merchants will offer prizes and drawings. The Warehouse District merchants have also joined together and will be offering a grand prize drawing, which includes a miniature Christmas tree filled with gift cards from most of the Warehouse District merchants. So make a note on your calendar now, November 11th through the 13th, the Downtown Coleman Warehouse District, as Live 95 helps to kick off Christmas in the Warehouse District. From your friends at the Coleman Warehouse District and all of us here at Live 95, Coleman's independent radio station.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a seniors only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Friday, December 9th at the Coleman Civic Center, the music, the moves, the memories of the King lives on. Christmas with Elvis, the ultimate tribute event as Stephen Freeman performs Elvis's Christmas gospel and rock and roll hits live on stage. Advance tickets on sale at KingTributeLive.com and the Coleman Civic Center. One night with you, Coleman, to prove Elvis is still the king. Don't miss Christmas with Elvis at the Coleman Civic Center, Friday, December 9th at 7:30. Visit KingTributeLive.com for more information.
Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089. 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Turn down for what?
Yeah, I see y'all waving your hands back and forth like you mean something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Put your hands up.
We got your head going. Boy.
That means it makes me want to go out and protest.
Get you a sign.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right, Jason, it's 5:50, 10 minutes till 6. We know what this time means every Thursday. Folks, get into a parking lot, pull over, put it in park, turn the radio volume up, get your pen and paper out because we're going to make our picks here shortly.
That's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
Hey, Jason, if somebody wants to watch a game tonight, here's your choices. You got North Carolina at Duke. That's at 6:30 on ESPN. Or you can watch Louisiana Lafayette at Georgia Southern. That's on ESPNU. Or you can watch Utah at Arizona State. That is on Fox Sports 1. That's at 8:30. So there's your three games that you can watch tonight if you want to see some football.
And if you're not interested in sports, or you are interested, but those games just don't hit you tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC, The Blacklist, the season finale of The Blacklist, and you might find out who Elizabeth's dad really is tonight.
Boy,
hey, Jason, apparently they're paying you to advertise, so you need to, like, see your boss back here sum up, you know?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Dancing with the Stars is what I thought.
No, I would take Blacklist over Dancing with the Stars.
You know, I skipped that last week because I always look forward in my DVR to make sure I'm recording everything, and I noticed that this week's episode said conclusion, and I said, well, I don't want no cliffhanger. I'll wait it out.
Hey, last week you didn't miss a whole lot, Jay, but this week's going to be something else.
Oh, what time
this
is it come on?
9 o'clock.
Oh, okay. You got plenty of time to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
Let's get it done. Because
everybody ready? We've got several college games since we're not picking any high school games.
That's right.
And we'll give you the score, who's going to win, and if anything else pops in our head, we'll tell you.
Yeah.
All right, Ronnie, let's kick it off in the SEC.
All right.
LSU -7 playing Arkansas. I'm not sure where that game's at.
Okay. LSU is a 7-point favorite. I think LSU wins. I say they win 26-20.
I'm also going with LSU. I'm going to say a low scoring affair, though, 17-13.
All right.
North Carolina -11. I think at Duke.
That's tonight.
Okay.
That's tonight, 6:30. North Carolina and Duke. I'm going to go North Carolina. I think it's going to be really close, though. I think it's going to be 21-20.
And
Carolina.
You may know the answer to this question. North Carolina and Duke, were they not supposed to play basketball this week also?
Don't know that.
I thought I seen them scheduled to play basketball.
North Carolina did.
I could have been looking at the football game. I don't
know.
It's
all early. It's in some kind of a tip-off tournament or something. It'd be awful early for them.
I could have been looking at football.
Yeah.
I'm also going North Carolina, but get this, 30 to 14.
30-14.
I wanted to say 13 so bad, but
I thought you were going to say 0.
I thought I would give you some more exciting music back
to
your pitch.
I like it. Yeah. I can hear it.
Ole Miss, Texas A&M.
Oh, Texas A&M. That's who I'm picking. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. Both quarterbacks are out for the season. You know, Mr. Kelly is blown out an ACL. So I'm going Texas A&M, low scoring for those two teams,
18-16. Oh, you said Texas A&M.
Texas A&M.
All right. I'm going the opposite way, Ronnie.
All right.
I'm going Ole Miss 23. Texas A&M 21.
All right. There's nothing being wrong. Nothing wrong with being wrong.
Kentucky, Tennessee. Tennessee a 14-point favorite.
I'm going with Tennessee. I just think somewhere or another they're going to win the ball game.
21-7. I'm also going with Tennessee 38-21.
Ooh. Lots of scoring.
Stanford, Oregon. I think Stanford a 3-point favorite.
I'll go with Stanford. 38-30.
And I'm also going with Stanford, and I like the 30s. I'm going 34-31.
All right.
West Virginia, Texas. Texas, a 2-point favorite. And this is a game Charlie Strong needs to get.
Yeah, then Texas is a favorite over West Virginia?
Yep.
I'm going West Virginia.
All right.
I think West Virginia wins a football game.
35-34. I'm going West Virginia also. I hate to copy, but I'm going 27-20.
All right.
Vandy, -3.5 at Missouri.
I'm going Vandy. Better football team than Missouri. Did you say at Missouri?
I think it's at Vandy, okay. But not positive.
That doesn't matter. I'm going Vandy to win. I think Vandy win. I think the score will be 24-17.
I'm answering my wife about going to eat.
Oh, tonight. Well, that's important.
What was that score again?
24-17.
Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going Vandy also, okay. And it's going to be 20-10.
20-10.
Auburn, -10. Well, let's hold on to that one. Let's right. Do Washington, -8.5 at home playing USC.
I'm going Washington, I think, 35-28.
All right, get ready. Jason's upset of the week.
Oh, you taking
USC wins
taking the Trojans?
One. USC wins at 27-24.
Wow. We'll see.
Auburn, -10, playing in Athens, the Georgia Bulldogs.
I'm going to take Auburn. I think they win 28-14.
Do you really have to think about that one that long?
I thought I was going to sneeze.
Oh, okay.
I'm also going Auburn 34-23. Okay. Alabama, -30, playing Mississippi State. Where's that game at?
That's in Tuscaloosa.
All right.
11 o'clock on Saturday on the SEC.
Boy, I hate those 11 o'clock.
I know, man. I do too. Alabama has not played one this year, so who knows how they may play. But I am confident that Alabama will win this football game. I'm saying Alabama wins 56-3.
Whoa. That sounds like Auburn and Arkansas.
Well, they shut out LSU last week.
All right, here we go. I'm going Alabama 38.
I have to give LSU a little credit. They kind of shut Alabama out for the first three quarters.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Coming from an Auburn
and
fan.
Alabama got lucky enough to get a
oh, of course.
A unnecessary roughness call
that
give them a first down.
Yeah.
Which Auburn got lucky enough to get a
fumble. They scored a touchdown, too.
38. I like the 3, but I'm going to go 6.
Okay. If you went to double digits, I was going lunch. No. And I owe you lunch, too, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
We have to keep that in mind.
Hey, let me give this tip to everybody.
Is that
going to
be the subject of next week's show? Is it going to be like, okay, Logan's versus AJ's versus Brandon Iron?
That's right. Versus Crystal.
This is a safe bet. And...
Yes.
For entertainment purposes only, and I'm totally serious with this. I know you think I'm pulling one, but I'm totally serious. If you will take, not all places do this, but some of the online ones, you can bet the over-under on a team on how many points they will score.
Some people don't know what you're talking about when you say over and under.
They will say, like, Alabama-Mississippi State, they will have Alabama predicted to score X amount of points, say 35.
Okay.
All right, you can bet whether they will score more than that or less than that.
Yeah.
All right, Mississippi State. They'll put them at a point, and you bet they'll score more than that or less than that. Every time I've not hit it every week because I've forgot it a couple of times, but I think all but 2 weeks I've bet on Alabama's opponent under, and I've won every time.
Well, what does that tell you?
Right.
They can play some defense, doesn't it?
And they keep putting the points up. They had Kent like at 6 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Makes it a pretty sure bet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty sure. All right, the music's playing means it's time for us to go home, grab a bite, and see the honey.
That's it. Watch a little football or a little
blacklist.
Blacklist. There you go.
All right, we'll be back Tuesday, folks. Have yourself a great weekend, a safe weekend. And again, this political stuff, don't worry about it. We've all got the same president.
That's exactly right.
Until then, a big war eagle.
And a great big old road tide.
Thanks for joining us. Be back Tuesday.
Poor old Nick Saban forgot the election.
Yeah, right, like I believe that.
Uh-huh. We'll be right back.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time to check in on our regional news from the Alabama Radio Network. ARN News is provided as a service of Coleman Regional Medical Center. Choose the side salad over the fries. Park at the back of the lot, on purpose. Staying healthy isn't one choice. It's a lot of little ones. That's why at Coleman Regional, we offer so many. Childbirth education classes, rehab programs, full screenings. Most of our wellness programs are totally free. Our full list of programs and doctors is available online today at ColemanRegional.com/healthy. Coleman Regional. Live exceptional.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. An Alabama congresswoman was forced into an unexpectedly tight race after becoming one of the few Republicans in the state to speak out against Donald Trump. U.S. Representative Martha Roby won a fourth term Tuesday night, but by a narrow margin after a large number of write-in votes drained support from the Republican incumbent. Unofficial returns showed that at least 29,000 write-in votes were cast in the conservative district that stretches from Montgomery through southeast Alabama. While voters in Hartsel have finally passed liquor sales in their city, the regulations for those sales have yet to be finalized. Proposed regulations include no Sunday sales, a limit on how close to schools and churches sales can take place, and a ban on single beer sales at gas stations. Greenville will be looking for a new police chief for the first time in decades. 67-year-old Lonzo Ingram is retiring after 45 years in law enforcement, the last 32 as Greenville's police chief. This is the Alabama Radio Network. A judge says a potential change in prosecutors won't delay the scheduled capital murder trial of a man awaiting his day in court for more than 9 years. Ron Davis is scheduled to go to trial in September 2017 in the 2007 slaying of 30-year-old Pete Reeves. District Attorney Doug Valeska will be replaced by DA-elect Pat Jones in January. Jones says a conflict may prevent him from serving as prosecutor in the case. Governor Robert Bentley has set the dates of a special election to fill the District 67 seat in the House of Representatives. Representative Dario Melton, a Democrat from Selma, is vacating the seat after being elected mayor of Selma. A special primary election is set for January 31st. Mobile's cruise terminal has reopened for business with a cruise ship at the dock and passengers at the gate. A ceremonial ribbon cutting yesterday signified the cruise terminal was back in operation after a 5-year hiatus and more than $4 million in renovations and upgrades. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You took the train. You did the crossword. You missed 22 across. You went to work. You had a meeting. You ate your lunch. You had another meeting. You wondered, how is anyone supposed to get any work done around here with so many meetings? You left the office. You took the train. You ate your dinner. You brushed your teeth. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a brutal EF5 tornado rips through town, leaving 30,000 people without power. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In money news, long-term U.S. mortgage rates have risen for a second straight week. Mortgage giant Freddie Mac says the average for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage increased to 3.57% this week from 3.54% last week. The 15-year fixed-rate mortgage rose to 2.88% from 2.86%. The Treasury Department says the federal government began its fiscal year October 1st with a deficit of $44.2 billion. The decrease was largely due to the fact that Medicare and Veterans Affairs payments went out in September because October 1st fell on a Saturday. Snapchat has unveiled bright yellow vending machines that will sell its new line of video glasses. The machines, called Snapbots, feature a cartoon-like face and are topped with balloons. They'll sell spectacles, which are glasses that can record video 10 seconds at a time and be uploaded to the Snapchat app. The glasses retail for $129. I'm Derek Scudder. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high.
This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. WRJMLP Coleman.
Struck by lightning, sounds pretty frightening, but you know.